నిర్మాయశేతే యదముష పురుష భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మక సోలంకృషిష్ట భగవాన్ వచాంసి మే. భూతైర్మహద్భిర్య ఇమా పురో విభూ నిర్మాయశేతే యదముష పురుష భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మకః సోలంకృషిష్ట భగవాన్ వచాంసి మే. ఇమా పురో విభూ నిర్మాయశేతే యమూజ పురుష భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మకః సోలంకృషిష్ట భగవాన్ వచాంసి మే. భూతైర్మహద్భిర్య ఇమః పురో విభూ నిర్మాయశేతే యదముషు పురుషః భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మకః సోలంకృషిష్ట భగవాన్ వచాంసి మే. భూతైర్మహద్భిర్య ఇమః పురో విభూ నిర్మాయశేతే యదముషు పురుషః భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మకః సోలంకృషిష్ట భగవాన్ వచాంసి మే. మాతాజీ ఎనీబడి భూతైర్మహద్భిర్య ఇమః పురో విభూ నిర్మాయశేతే యదముషు పురుషః భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మకః యోలంకృషిష్ట భగవాన్ వచాంసి మే. భూతైః బై ది ఎలిమెంట్స్, మహద్భిః ఆఫ్ మటీరియల్ క్రియేషన్, యః హి హు ఇమాః ఆల్ దీస్ పూరః బాడీస్, విభుః ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్, నిర్మాయ ఫార్ బీయింగ్ సెటప్, శేతే లై డౌన్, యద్ అమూషు వన్ హూ ఇన్కార్నేటెడ్, పురుషః లార్డ్ విష్ణు, భుంక్తే కాజెస్ టు బి సబ్జెక్టెడ్, గుణాన్ the three modes of nature, shodasha in 16 divisions, shodashatmakah being the generator of these 16, saha he alankrushishta may decorate bhagavan the personality of godhead. Vachamsi statements, mine. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enlivens the materially created bodies of the elements by lying down within the universe, and who in his Purusha incarnation causes the living entity to be subjected to the 16 divisions of material modes, which are his generator, be pleased to decorate my statements. Purport. As a fully dependent devotee, Shukadeva Goswami, unlike a mundane man who is proud of his own capability, invokes the pleasure of the personality of Godhead so that his statements may be successful and be appreciated by the hearers. The devotee always thinks of himself as an instrumental for anything successful being carried out, and he declines to take the credit of anything done by himself. The godless atheist wants to take all the credit of activities, not knowing that even a blade of grass cannot move without the sanction of Supreme Spirit. The personality of Godhead, Shukadeva Goswami, therefore wants to move by the direction of the Supreme Lord, who inspired Brahma to speak the Vedic wisdom. The truths described in Vedic literatures are not theories of mundane imagination, nor are they fictitious, as the less intelligent class of men sometimes think. The Vedic truths are all perfect descriptions of the factual truth without any mistake or illusion, and Shukadeva Goswami wants to present the truths of creation not as a metaphysical theory of philosophical speculation, but as the actual facts and figures of the subject, since he would be dictated by the Lord exactly in the same manner as Brahmaji was inspired. As stated, the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, the Lord himself, the father of Vedanta knowledge, and the father is himself the father of Vedanta knowledge. The Lord is himself the father of Vedanta knowledge, and it is he only who knows the factual purport of Vedanta philosophy. So there is no greater truth than the principles of religion mentioned in the Vedas. Such Vedic knowledge or religion is disseminated by authorities like Shukadeva Goswami, because he is a humble devotional servitor of the Lord who has no desire to become a self-appointed interpreter without authority. This is the way of explaining the Vedic knowledge, technically known as the parampara system or descending process. The intelligent man can see without mistake that many material creation, whether one's own body or a fruit or a flower, cannot beautifully grow up without the spiritual touch. The greatest intelligent man of the world or the greatest man of science can present everything very beautifully only insofar the spirit is there, the spirit life is there, or in so much as the spiritual touch is there. Therefore, the source of all truths is the Supreme Spirit and not gross matter, as wrongly convinced by the gross materialist. We get information from the Vedic literature that the Lord himself first entered the vacuum of material universe, and thus all things gradually developed one after another. Similarly, the Lord is situated as localized Paramatma in every individual being. Hence, everything is done by him very beautifully. The 16 principal creative elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, sky, and the 11 sense organs, first developed from the Lord himself and were thereby shared by the living entities. Thus, the material elements were created for the enjoyment of living entities. The beautiful arrangement behind all material manifestations is therefore made possible by the energy of the Lord, and the individual living entity can only pray to the Lord to understand it properly. Since the Lord is supreme entity, different from Shukadeva Goswami, the prayer can be offered to him. The Lord helps the living entity to enjoy material creation, but he is aloof from such false enjoyment. Shukadeva prays for the mercy of the Lord, not only for being helped personally in presenting the truth, but also for helping others to whom he would like to speak. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। A very heavy purport. I will make a very humble effort to explain whatever I could understand. And before I begin, I would like to pray at the feet of all of you, so that you can bless me very much following the spirit of that verse, that your blessings may decorate my words and be pleasing to all of you. Before we actually begin with the purport, a small background, and that background is also very much aligned to the spirit of this entire verse and the purport which Srila Prabhupada is giving. I was recently hearing a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada in that he mentions the psychology of Arjun. Now before even we come to the aspect of understanding the psychology of Arjun, going little bit backwards. In the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, of course the psychology Prabhupada presents based on a shloka in the first chapter. So I was listening to one lecture by His Grace Gaurang Darshan Prabhu on the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It is not there on ISKCON Desiretory. You will have to buy the Bhakti Shastri course to hear that lecture. I have bought it, so I was hearing it. So in that lecture he makes a very beautiful point. There is a section dedicated. The section talks about signs of victory of Pandavas. So there are various shlokas in Bhagavad Gita, but there are few shlokas in Bhagavad Gita which are categorized as a section, that these are the signs of victories. Okay. From these shlokas itself, it's already decided that after the war, Pandavas are going to win. One of that thing is a statement which Prabhupada quotes in the purport. So Prabhupada quotes a statement by Sripad Madhvacharya, and he says, Madhvacharya writes in his commentary that Jayastu Pandu Putranam Yesham Pakshe Janardana. So this is the verse quoted by Madhvacharya. Means Jayastu Pandu Putranam, 101% the sons of Pandu are going to be victorious. Jayastu Pandu Putranam, on whose party is Janardana, Yesham Pakshe Janardana, in whose party there is Lord Janardhan. Now this word Janardhan is very very nice word. Because Janardhan literally means the protector of all living entities. So the word is not Jayastu Pandu Putranam Yesham Pakshe Bhakta Vatsala. It's not mentioned like that. Jayastu Pandu Putranam Yesham Bhakte Janardhan. One who is the protector of all living entities. So if he is a protector of all living entities, then how is it that some living entities will be killed and some will be protected? That will be the obvious question, because the word used is Janardhan. So the answer to that is given in our Bhagavatam only, in the first canto, the very classic verse. You all heard this verse. Our Gaurang Prabhu speaks on that verse many times. Tathaiva channe naraloka veera ya ahave krishna mukhara vindam So this verse is actually explaining what is happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It's like a camera. So you all have questions. I have questions in my mind. How Janardhan, you are saying all living entities are protected, but I know, and I think how many were killed? 64 crores or something? If I'm not wrong, and I've heard this in Prabhupada's purport, the number of people who were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were 64 crores. I think this is more than the Second World War and the First World War together. I'm not sure. I think so. So many living entities are killed, but still it is Janardhan. It is protector of living entities. So how do you understand this? So a camera is taken to the battlefield of Kurukshetra. What is happening on the battlefield? Live. As the battle is going on, what is happening? Okay. So tathaiva chanye naraloka veera. So these people who are fighting on the other side, they are veeras, they are naralokas, they are like kings. What are they doing? Ya ahave Krishna mukharavindam. They are seeing the beautiful face of Lord Krishna. And just so that to make you understand how they are seeing that beautiful face, it is mentioned netre pibanto. Netre pibanto nena abhiramam. Means that, I mean, this is just so beautiful analogy. Generally, we all drink with our mouth. We all know. But the beauty of Krishna's face is mentioned that they are drinking the beauty with their eyes. Netre pibanto nena abhiramam. And what is the cost of paying that? What is the cost that they have to pay for drinking that beauty? An arrow that comes and shoots their body. That is the cost. Who is sending that arrow? Arjuna, sitting next, because you are in front of Arjuna. You are seeing the beauty of Lord Krishna's face, but the cost is that arrow comes and hits you. What does that arrow do? Parthastra puta, that astra which is sent by Partha, that is purifying that person. And padama purasya. Immediately, that person attains the highest destination. What an amazing description. That's why this is one of the most classic verses. So it's like, you know, telling you, now is this particular act, how does this act look like from a mundane vision? If I tell you, you know, there is a beautiful hospital here, and in that there is a doctor, and she's just so beautiful. You know, it's worth becoming sick to see that doctor once, because she's so beautiful. And you go to that doctor. When you fall sick, you go to the doctor and, you know, you're just drinking the beauty of the doctor through your eyes. But she has a compounder who has an injection with him. That injection is made up of poison. The price that you have to pay to see the beauty of this doctor is that you have to take that injection. And then the news comes in the newspaper. Oh, this hospital has been flocked by people from all over the world. And, you know, it's just crowded. And you say, you know, I know people from less intelligent people, uneducated people will go and flock such an hospital. No! There are Naraloka Veeras who are coming and visiting this hospital. They are heads of states. Like, you know, you may have Joe Biden coming in, or maybe Modi ji coming in, or maybe, you know, some, you know, who is that prince of Abu Dhabi? You know, he is coming in. Why? To drink the beauty of this doctor from the mouth. Why? And then ultimately to get an injection of poison. This is the most insane thing that can happen, right? If it happens, nowadays this will become a topic of that psycho movies. Nowadays people come and... Means after seeing the... I don't know much, but my daughter keeps telling me. I think after watching the movie, it looks like the movie is made by psycho people, or it is made for psycho people. There are such movies, you know, they become very famous. They become actually one of the thrillers. So this is like a psycho thriller, na? People from all over the world, heads of state coming to see the beauty of a lady. If this ever happened in the history, this will go in the pages as one of the most shameful event in the history of human being. But these people have not been described as shameful people or foolish people. They have been described as people who have attained the highest perfection of life. Parthastra puta padama purasya. Why? Because the person who is involved is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah. His face. Now, to whom all this is happening? This is happening to Anne. Anne means other people. That means who are not of his party.
So Yesham Paksha Janardana. So there is one party which is Janardana's party. The opposite party, this is what is happening. So Anne Naruloki Vira, they are happening undergoing all this process of going to the spiritual world with such a fantastic experience in their life. So what to speak of their own party? You cannot even talk about it. 101% they are going to win. Right? If the opposite party can be benefited so much, what to speak of the own party? And therefore the word Janardhan is most appropriate. He is the protector of all living entities, whichever party you take. As long as you have his contact, as long as you are seeing him, right? Doesn't matter. This is the beauty of Lord Krishna, and this is why he is Supreme Personality, and that's why he is worshipped by all of us. That's why we love him. It doesn't matter in what way you look at him, even if you look at him as your enemy, as long as you are looking at him, drinking the beauty of his face, he still sends you back to Godhead. Everybody. That there is no. This is the speciality of Lord Krishna. Now, coming to the verse and the psychology of Arjun. Such a personality is sitting on his chariot. A person who is fit to give benefits to even the benedictions to even the enemies. But what is the second sign of Arjuna's victory? That is mentioned as Kapidhvaja. Okay, Arjuna has been addressed as Kapidhvaja. So what is Kapidhvaja? You imagine if tomorrow India's flag had a monkey on it, would you all be happy about it? Kapidhvaja means one person who on his flag has a monkey, literally. You will be very happy, oh, you'll be proud. My flag has a monkey. Feel ashamed. But Arjuna's flag has a monkey, but it's not an ordinary monkey, right? He's the monkey, same who's standing there with folded hands, Shri Hanumanji, right? So Prabhupada is thinking that why Arjuna's flag has a monkey. And Prabhupada says, Arjuna's psychology is, you know, I am supposed to fight for Krishna, but I don't have any power. I can't fight. But you have power. You have fought for Lord Ramchandra, right? So you give me the power to fight. I cannot fight. This is his psychology. And this goes as a sign of victory. And Prabhupada says, this was the psychology of Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami also. So Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, he is writing about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? In his book, we have this Chaitanya Charitamrita volumes placed here. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, he is a patient of rheumatoid arthritis. It is mentioned in the scriptures like that. You understand what's a rheumatoid arthritis? It's an autoimmune syndrome. And I have seen people who have, they cannot hold pen in their hand. Even to write, even to make a sign. Recently I was with a doctor. My mother actually went through this particular issue. And my doctor was looking at the report. And he was looking at it and he was saying that, how did you even bring her to hospital? Because such a person cannot be even brought to hospital. Of course, it's Krishna's mercy. I don't understand how it actually happened. So he's saying that such a person cannot even hold a pen in the hand. This person is 90 years old, patient of rheumatoid arthritis, and is carving on palm leaves, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And while he's doing that, he thinks that he's incapable of doing it. So how is it? I don't even understand the psychology of a person who's actually like this. He's actually carving it. Somebody may actually carve and say that, look what I'm doing for the Lord. Look at my dedication and my commitment. I mean, Nityananda Prabhu ko kya hai? Dream mein aage aur bol diya jao, scripture likho. But I am a 90-year-old person. You know, you can just come and order me to write something and I am writing. So, you know, be grateful to what I am doing. But as he's writing, he's saying, no, I am not qualified. And he's actually praying to Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, who probably are sort of junior to him maybe. And you know, he's just praying to everybody. He's 90 years old. And he's taking blessing of every devotee. He says, no, I am not qualified. And he writes many places that I beg at the lotus feet of all my readers who may be new devotees. I don't know what set of psychology. And Prabhupada says, these are the signs of victory. I am yet to see a YouTube influencer or motivational speaker, life coach or whatever, you know, you want to call it, who says that to consider oneself unqualified is a sign of victory. You know, people will say that you should have confidence in yourself, this and that, inner power, this and that. The sign of victory demonstrated in the battlefield of Kurukshetra by Arjun, who actually won the battle, is to consider oneself completely unqualified. And Kapidhwaja, you are there, that's my sign of victory. So this is the sign of victory. Prabhupada says this. And then this entire purport then goes ahead. I wanted to share something, a personal experience. It's just in this line of considering oneself completely unqualified. Okay. And the reason I am saying it is because, let me be very honest, we were all asked to make an offering to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj for Vyas Puja, and I missed that deadline. So this is sort of my small offering. So there was this time when we had this drama festival in Radha Gopinath temple, and this was my sort of first performance. I first got to act in a drama, and I got the role of the pujari who is looking for Madhavendra Puri. So all of you know the story of Khirchor Gopinath. So in brief, the story is like, great saint Madhavendra Puri walked all the way from Vrindavan to Orissa. And then he saw this beautiful darshan of Gopinath deity. And he saw a very special offering of kheer which was being made. That kheer is very well known. This happened in a place called Remona in Orissa. And when he saw that beautiful offering, he for in the mind, he thought that, you know, maybe this offering is, this offering, I have heard so much about it, I should learn about how to make this offering. And if I get to taste it, I'll be able to make it. Right? So, this is called reverse engineering. Like, you may not be a best cook, but the acharyas apparently were such great cooks that they could test it and they could reverse engineer and cook it also. This is their mastery. Right? So, he thought that if I get a test, I'll be able to cook something for my lord in Vrindavan, Srinathji. And then suddenly he felt like, oh, how did I even think of testing an offering before the offering was done? So he thought that it was an offense, mental offense. And he couldn't take that mental offense and he went into seclusion. Just like our another Acharya, Shripad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He, as a small child of 3-year-old, once he went to a mango which was being offered to Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur then, who was his father, he chastised him. He said, how can you taste a fruit without being offered? This personality, for the rest of his life, never ate a mango. I mean, this. So this personality, we can just actually think of them, I mean, how is it possible, you know? How can you not have mango? Being in Mumbai, at least, you know, is impossible. And what I have heard, that mangoes in Bengal were better than the mangoes in Mumbai. They were actually destroyed, that crop, many of them were destroyed during the British rule. I have heard that there was a mango in Bengal. That mango was so nice that when the mango would start ripening, the birds would start flocking in that forest and start eating the mango. So the people would climb that tree, take out the mangoes and keep it in a room. And then ensure that, so that the birds don't come and start eating all the mangoes. Because anybody would come and eat the mango, if the mango was so fragrant. And then they would keep it in the rooms, but the rooms would get infected with snakes. So then the rooms would be protected and locked and maintained by people. And these mangoes then would be given to these nawabs and everybody. I don't know where that mango has gone. It's just not there now. All that we know is Alfonso. That mango is gone. Yeah, it has just disappeared. But that was there in Bengal. And we know from Mahaprabhu's pastime that Mahaprabhu also planted one tree of mangoes, which had no seeds and just mangoes. I just cannot imagine what could have been the taste of that. Anyway, that's a separate topic. So, similarly, coming back to this story. So he thought that, you know, I made an offense. So he went to a secluded place. Meanwhile, this deity of Gopinath stole the pot, one pot for his, and kept it behind his leg. And then, when the pujari slept, the Gopinathji appeared in the dream and said that there is this devotee of mine who is unnecessarily lamenting, but I have already stolen a pot for him. So can you please take the pot and give it to him? The pujari was shocked of his life. He just woke up in the night. And if you are sleeping, you generally don't go to the Lord and immediately open the altar. But he was so excited. He just took an achman and just went in the altar and saw that there was this pot. And he was shocked. And he, right in front of that, he took that pot and went running in the village that Madhavendra Puri, where are you? This is a pot which Gopinath has stolen for you. Madhavendra, where are you? And then from that day onwards, this deity was called as Kirchor Gopinath. So I had got the role of this pujari who gets up in the night and opens the. And in one subsequent Pune Yatra, Radhana Swami Maharaj was speaking on this pastime. And we had just performed the drama in October, November, and the Pune Yatra was in December. And Radhana Maharaj, Pune Yatra was in March, immediate following March. So we performed the drama in January, and the Pune Yatra was in March. And because it was the appearance day of Shripad Madhavendra Puri, which comes just few days before Gaur Purnima, if I'm not wrong. So that time, Maharaj started speaking this whole pastime. And I don't know why this rubbish statement thought in my mind. I was feeling that as Guru Maharaj is explaining this thought, he may reflect to a drama which was performed and may say, you know, we saw this drama and that drama was very nice. And I will feel very nice to hear it. I just had this thought in my mind. But he never spoke that. And he spoke after the whole pastime. He just looked in the direction where I was sitting. And he said, a devotee thinks himself completely unqualified for any action that he performs. That came as a this to me. This statement remained in my mind for a long time. That how do I completely understand it? How do I technically understand it? And then recently I realized the beautiful way. So after I performed this role in the drama, many people came and congratulated me. They glorified me. They loved and they appreciated me. All that thing happened. So recently I was just looking at the different way the words are written in Sanskrit language. And I got an answer to this question that what was the basic mistake? That fundamentally I was wrong in my whole approach towards this entire episode. How I was wrong? You see, in Sanskrit, if something belongs to your brother or something which is in your brotherly, so brother word is called as bandhu. So something that is brotherly is called as bandhava. Correct? So, something which is coming from Pandu is called as Pandava. Something that is coming from Kuru is called as Kaurava. So, what is glorification called as? Gaurava. So, it has to come from whom? Guru. So, something that comes from Guru is Gaurava. That means any qualification, any glorification that you get is by definition coming from Guru. It's coming because of your Guru. It's the property of your Guru. Something that is a property of Kuru is Kaurava. Something that is a property of Pandu is Pandava. Something which is a property of Guru is Gaurava. So any Gaurava, any appreciation, anything that may come to you is the property of Guru by definition. Because it's Gaurava, it has to come from Guru. Right? This is a fundamental mistake. Therefore, if somebody says that whatever I have is all given to me by my spiritual master, it is not a statement, it's a matter of fact. It is actually a fact because by definition it has to come from Guru. If it is Gaurav, it has to come from Guru. There is no other source. It has to come by the blessing of Guru. So any appreciation that you may receive for anything is actually coming from Guru. Yeah? It may come from the Guru planet in your astrological chart or the physical spiritual master who is in front of you, that whole planet in the personality coming in front of you by his mercy and his prayers. You know? Therefore, actually I have seen in my life, I have seen people who have extremely damaged astrological charts. One very senior devotee of our congregation told me this. He came to me and he said, my son has a very compromised astrological chart. But he said, it's because of this connection of Guru and the causeless mercy this Guru is showing on him, this man is performing extremely well in his material life and spiritual life both. This is Gaurava. What comes from Guru has to be Gaurava. And whatever there is Gaurava in your life, it has to come from Guru. It cannot come from anyone else. So whatever is there in my life also, whether it's material or spiritual, which can be appreciated or appreciable, is actually coming from the mercy of my spiritual master. There is nothing else. And that's what is the theme of this verse. Right? So Shukadeva Goswami is himself thinking that, you know, I cannot do, I am not qualified. Now, there is some small analysis I performed of this verse and this purport. Okay? So you can see, if you open the book, Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll show it to you. Right? Now, Prabhupada has given two sections. There's one section here and one section here, right? Yeah? So Prabhupada has given the purport in two parts, two sections of the purports. Why there are two sections? Because there are two prayers which are made in this. And why the two prayers are made? There are two reasons which are given for the prayers. Okay? So what are the two prayers? And Prabhupada has given the two prayers in English translation. One is, may the Supreme Lord be pleased by my words. Second prayer is, may the Supreme Lord decorate my words. Okay? Two prayers have been made. Specifically, two prayers are being made. Okay? May he be pleased. And why does Shukadeva Goswami feels that he is supposed to make this prayer to Supreme Lord? He is glorifying two qualities of the Supreme Lord. Okay? So why this Supreme Personality of Godhead should give me this benefit or should give me this benediction? Because he has two qualities. What are the two qualities? Okay. The one quality is mentioned as Bhungte Gunan Shodasha. Okay? Second quality is made as Shodashatmaka. Now there is a beautiful lecture by His Grace Balaram Shakti Prabhu, and he has in that lecture cited Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, and he mentions this meaning of the word Shodashatmaka. The first qualification which Shukadeva Goswami feels why he should give me this benediction. What is that qualification? That he is Shodashatmaka. Now this Shodashatmaka is very nicely explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. What is the meaning of this Shodashatmaka? So Shodashatmaka literally is, there are 16 elements in this world. So earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, earth, water, fire, air, ether. And then there are the 10 tanmatras, then there are 10 sense objects, and then there is mind. Like that, there are 16 objects. Maybe I'm right. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Right, the 16 objects, and he has been called as the Shodasha Atmaka, means life of the 16 objects. So how do you understand that? So he said that, see, you take a sugar candy, right? So does a sugar candy have life in it? No. But if you stretch out your tongue and put sugar candy on it, it tastes sweet. So who is giving that ability to sugar candy to taste sweet? He is saying it is Supreme Personality of God. Because Krishna is there inside that sugar candy in the molecule, right? So in Brahma Samhita we know Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. So nowadays, you know, we all talk about nuclear energy and everything, correct? So uranium, it has a nucleus, and then you do undergo the fission, and then the energy is generated. So the question is asked, how nuclear energy is coming in uranium? Because in nucleus Krishna is present. Actually, nuclear energy is there in all nucleuses, not only in uranium, in all of us also. It may manifest in different ways. In case of uranium, it is manifested as that unlimited heat energy. In case of sugar, it is manifested as sweetness. But that is coming because Supreme Personality of Godhead is there. Now, why this particular prayer has been made? So why is he saying the quality in Krishna that is being glorified, that Krishna is able to bring in life even in dead matter? That's what is the glorification of Krishna. Why that prayer? That is because Shukadeva Goswami himself feels that I am like a dead matter. And I am going to now speak. Right? So my tongue is like a dead tongue. Krishna, just like you enliven the dead planets and dead matter, now you enliven me. And we know Srila Prabhupada, in the exact same spirit, he said, Kashthera Putali Jata Nachav Se Mate, right? That's the exact word he used in his poem. So, Kashthera Putali is what? It's a dead matter. So, Prabhupada, although in some places Prabhupada said, Krishna told me to go and write books. But that may be a very exceptional statement that he made like that. His consciousness was that actually I am a dead matter. I am Kashthera Putali. Krishna, you make me write. You make me dance. Why? because you have the power to enliven even dead matter. And Krishna has, and Krishna actually can literally enliven dead matter also. In the pastime of Kala Krishna Das, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he was taken and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would inspire life in dead weapons. And the weapons started chasing the Pataharis. Right? So Krishna can inspire life in dead matter in a matter of time. Right? And that's why when we hear Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, you know, everything has a life. Recently I was reading some lecture by, maybe it was, I don't remember, it was Bhuvaneshwar lecture by Radhanath Maharaj or, it was a class by Hari Parshad Prabhu I was listening to. And Hari Parshad Prabhu says that, what is the last line of Damodar Ashtakam? The last line of Damodar Ashtakam means Namastes to Damne. Means I am paying my obeisances to a rope. So he says such a foolish, in so long, okay, you are paying obeisances to Tulsi Maharani, I can accept. Obeisances to a monkey, demigod, I can accept. But to a rope? But because that rope is from the spiritual world, it is in connection with Krishna, so it has life. So Krishna can inspire life in a rope, right? And very beautifully, just because I am on that topic, I like this point very much. That why the rope was always falling short by two fingers? You know, so actually, it's of course we know that the entire analogy of two fingers, two shots, right? So the one finger is the effort of a devotee, and the second finger is the mercy of Krishna. But Hari Parshad Prabhu in this class was explaining that Hari Shauri, who is the commentator on Krishna's pastime, he says that the rope was falling short because the rope is called as guna. And guna also means quality. So actually, when a living entity is trying to bind Lord Krishna in his mind, or is trying to pray to Lord Krishna in his mind, it is obvious that he will not have certain gunas. Guna also means quality. So us bhakt ke andar kuch durgun honge, jiski wajah se wo bhagwan ko apne paas nahi le aapayega. Right? And then suddenly Krishna's mercy, that rope became of the height, sufficient height, and Yashoda Mai was able to tie. So Krishna is trying to tell us that you will have some lack of qualities because of which you will not be able to understand me fully, but don't worry, I will follow those, I will supply those qualities to you. That's what Krishna is wanting to tell us. That's why the rope is so important. Because rope signifies qualities, and the lack of enough length of rope means lack of enough qualities for us to worship Krishna. But Krishna is saying, don't worry. Whatever is lacking, yogakshemam mahamyam. I will actually follow you. I will actually provide it to you. Whatever you have, I will preserve. Whatever you lack, I will provide. That is that quality. So, coming back to this aspect of life. So, Krishna can inspire life in non-living entities. So, Prabhupada also said that, because I am a kashchara putali, I cannot have life. So Krishna, you give life to my words. That with that mood, Shukadeva Goswami is addressing here as Shodashatmaka. This is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comment. But there is one more prayer which is mentioned, and that Prabhupada has explained in the purport very nicely. Why that particular? So the first reason is because you are Shodashatmaka, you should give me this benefit that you bless me. Second is he is saying, because you are bhungte gunan shodashah. You are the person, my lord, who is forcing all living entities to enjoy in this material world. Yeah, you are almost forcing everything. If you read the translation of the word bhungte here, Prabhupada is saying bhungte is causes to be subjected. Right? So Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually subjecting all of us to enjoy material nature in one sense. Because that's how the material energy is created. Right? So how do you understand this? This is one of the reasons why Krishna should also help me. Right? So I was thinking a lot on this particular purport. What is the actually meaning? And I will express the answer I got today somehow in the seva, in the kitchen, deity worship seva. Those who, you know, do the backup seva, there is one person who comes for the backup seva who does the bigger pots, like the big, and then most of the devotees, they do the small pots which are used for Archana. So this person who for bigger pot was absent today. So by Krishna's mercy, I got the chance to spend some time washing pots. And I was washing pots, I was praying to Krishna that I want to understand what is the second understanding. So whatever thought I got, I will share. And I will not say that this is valid. All of you can bless it. If all of you bless it, then I will understand it is valid. So imagine a dialogue between... So first imagine that what Prabhupada is writing in the purport. Now whatever I am saying is based on the purport. It's not my speculation, by the way. It's just what is there in the purport. In purport, Prabhupada is saying one very powerful statement. So long we have heard a statement from Prabhupada that one time there was a person who was talking with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada told him that yes, Krishna made the world for enjoyment, but not yours, his. It's a statement of Prabhupada. But here Prabhupada is writing that Krishna actually created this material world for living entity's enjoyment. But living entity has a desire to enjoy separately. Krishna has gone all the way out and he manifests all the creation so that living entities can enjoy. Right? So, the goal of a devotee in life is never to enjoy. Correct? The goal of a devotee is to always serve and provide enjoyment to Krishna. But there is one problem. The problem is, you nevertheless enjoy. Means, what I am trying to say is, Prabhupada gives an analogy. Okay. If I am a driver, right? And let's say I am an Ola or Uber driver in today's context. So the booking is made. I say, okay, sir, kahan jana hai aapko? And the person sits in the back. And typically what I am doing, I am going everywhere because I want to save my fuel. So I don't switch on the AC. I keep going everywhere as an Ola driver without AC. But the moment I get booking, I say, and then I am waiting for the person to say, aray, AC lagao. I may not myself put it on. Because I still want to save money. The person says, aray, AC lagao, then I put on my AC. Now, he is my master, I am his servant. But who is enjoying the AC? AC is meant for whose enjoyment? Master's enjoyment. But in that process, I am also enjoying the AC. I am driver, but I am also enjoying. Right? Many, many years back, I remember, I was sitting here and doing this Chandan Yatra. I was doing sandalwood grinding for the Chandan Yatra festival. And after the sandalwood was ground, I came and I remember that time it was Shankarananda Prabhu, he was that time Brahmachari. He looked at me and he said, Prabhu, just look at your hands. Even before the Lord is made with Chandan, your hands are made with Chandan already. Right there. So what he was telling me is that the process of bhakti is so wonderful. It is actually meant for giving enjoyment to Lord Krishna. But somehow in that process, you end up getting enjoyed also. I mean, you end up enjoying. You cannot avoid it. Right? So, you know, for example, I am sitting here, I am speaking Bhagavatam class. Okay, I have been asked, Prabhuji told me that you have to give Bhagavatam. So, you know, I can have that banner put in my chest and say, I am speaking as a seva. You know, he came to me as a seva. I have no desire to speak and instruct people and all. But, you know, I am just doing my seva. But honestly, let me tell you, I am enjoying as I am speaking to all of you also. I am happy. I am not feeling miserable at all. I am speaking about Krishna. You know, I am happy. In that process, I am actually enjoying. Although, I say and proclaim that, no, actually service, no. Please, let's accept this fact that I am also feeling happy. Otherwise, I would have never accepted his proposal of giving Bhagavatam. It's giving me some happiness. Those who do deity worship, we are actually doing it for Krishna. We have Prem Kishore Prabhu sitting there behind our master. You must be enjoying it, right, Prabhu? Making those small fans and putting it. Let's be honest, right? I mean, we like it. Because Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Susukham Kartam Avyam. Are you challenging Krishna? And saying that, no, I'm not enjoying. I'm only serving. No, it's a fact. Yeah? So Krishna has made up in such a way that we, some or the other, we will also end up enjoying a little bit. But the prayer which is made here is that, you know, let my words be pleasing to you, Krishna. You have made me in such a way, you have made my body in such a way that if I perform an action, I can't help but enjoy. is by default. It's a design flaw, if you want to call it. I'm going to enjoy. But Krishna, please, let my words be enjoying to you, be pleasing to you. What is that shloka in the previous prayer? Prasidatam me Bhagavan Satampati. Krishna, may you be pleased. I am speaking because of your power only. The words which are coming to my mouth because of your potency. You know, please, my humble request, you be happy. Because I will anyways become happy. That's by default, and I'm not supposed to be doing like that. But it will happen. What can I do? But you please be happy. That's a prayer which is being offered. You know, it's a prayer to Krishna that, you know, you be pleased. If you are happy, then my life is successful. I will anyways be happy. And secondly, you can imagine a conversation between Krishna and a devotee. Krishna says, you know what I did for you? Just, you don't want to serve me. You want to enjoy independently. Right? And I created this whole material world for you. Right? Just so that you can enjoy. I created all this for you. So that then devotee tells Krishna, Krishna, you created the material world so that we can enjoy. But you also created the ability to create in me as part of that process. Right? That also you did. Right? And you did not create an artificial intelligence. You created a natural intelligence, just like yours. Just like, you know, a natural mind, a natural falsity or ego, whatever. Just like yours. Right? You created that. Right? And you created it so that I can enjoy. Now let me create something by which you can enjoy. I will now create some words so that you can enjoy, my Lord. You gave me that object, ability to create. Now I'm creating something and I don't know. I don't know whether it's going to be good. I don't know whether it's going to be nice. Very similar to, let's say, somebody who is growing flowers. He grows nice flowers. But he has no idea how those flowers can decorate Lord Krishna. So he makes the flowers, he brings it and he puts it there outside here in the deity room. Okay? And then the pujari comes, pujari knows exactly how the flower can decorate Krishna very nicely. Right? So whatever thoughts that we have, you know, there are sumanas. They are like a thought coming from a good mind is like a sumana. Sumana means a good mind and sumana also means a flower. So whatever words and good thoughts that we are able to come out from our mouth, they are like sumanas. But we don't know how to decorate Krishna. Through those sumanas. I don't know whether the words will be decorating to Krishna. No, it's a prayer to Krishna. Krishna, I'll give you the flowers, you decorate. let your mercy decorate my words nicely. Let the pujaris, let your devotees make it to a very nice decoration. So in that prayer. So the problem with this, it's not a problem. The basic design of the material world is that it is created for you to enjoy, and you also have an ability of creating something. But the hope is that may it be pleasing to Krishna. You know, that with that hope is something which is actually being offered as a prayer in this purport. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, comments? Okay. Thank you very much. Very good.
The way you explained about Toro, never ever had that time in that. Beautiful thing in my mind. We had heard it from the Guru Maharaj. We get good quality because of Guru Maharaj. But the way you presented that, yeah.